is.
Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your interest is respected and your voice protected.
Okay, 816.
Okay, hold on. 896-77351. That's the one I use.
Wait a minute, what's the number again?
Community-wide, Shura and AM360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
And with that,
the views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another edition of the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I am your host, Latifa A. Hameen, with my co-host, Sister Alia Abdul Rahman. Hallelujah. Wow, Jumma Mubarak. All right, guys, here we go. Today it is Friday, of course, and we have another segment of the CWSC Friday Roundtable. We're so happy to be here this morning. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to be here for another day. And we always have to give praise and thanks to Almighty God, because we know without Allah blessing us to be here, we would not be here today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ash-shahadu la ilaha illallah. Ash-shahadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Again, O Allah, you are our Lord. There is no God but you. You created us, and we are your servants, and we uphold our covenant to you as much as we're able. We seek refuge with you from the evil that we have done. We acknowledge your favor, and we acknowledge our sin. So please forgive us. Indeed, there is none that can forgive sin except for you.
Amen.
We cannot, please bless us and guide us, because we cannot do this alone. We need you. We need your help. We need your guidance, and we ask you to bless us. Amen. And, Allah, I seek refuge with you from the anxiety and grief. Seek refuge with you from the lack of strength and laziness, and we seek refuge with you from cowardness and niggardliness, and we seek refuge with you from the overpowered by doubt and oppression in men. Oh, Allah, please fight us with what is lawful to keep us away from that which is prohibited, and with thy grace, make us free from want of that which is beside thee. Amen. All right, so let's get started. And you know, our first guest, sister, oh, she got on. All right. But she's not on our guest. She couldn't be on the Zoom, but she is on the studio board. This is a sister that I've known forever. I can't remember not even knowing her. She is a longtime pioneer out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She is, she's got so many, many talents. And I'm going to let her tell you more about who she is. But she is my sister. She is a sister that is a powerful sister, and she always has a lot to say. So I'm going to bring her on. Sister Malema Shaheed, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my sister. Can you hear me?
I don't know what's going on with hold on. I don't have anything else on. Are you on speakerphone?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now, that's better. That's better, Sister Malema. Yes.
Well,
all right.
You can hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Okay, well, I'm
okay,
going to get started.
Well,
we're going
to
what?
Malema, before you start it. I know you're allowed to say, but we're going to give you 5 to 7 minutes to tell us a little bit more about who you are, and then we'll go and continue from there. Okay. You have the mic, sis.
Okay. You said wait a couple of minutes?
No, I said you have 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, 5 to 7 minutes to tell us more about who you are as a person. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So you have the mic.
Well, my name is Malema Shaheed, and I've been on this road for over 50 years, and I love working with human beings, and my main objective is to teach us, myself and the rest of us, to put our Creator first, because this is the reason we're having all the problems on this planet Earth, because we have failed to worship our Creator. And when we connect with the Creator, we connect with each other, because we are all one unit. We are one people. Now, the enemy of the planet Earth, I would say, have us so divided by everything that is unnatural, skin tone, hair. This is the most kindergarten ignorant stuff in the world. We have to look beyond that. So that is what I really, really love teaching, and that's what I want to get into. And I love working with young people, the young generations, because they are the ones that's going to carry this world on. And they are not they are more intelligent, and they are more reasonable, and the Creator just blessing them with the knowledge to carry on. So they are the ones. And I, what I did, I said this part. I always wanted knowledge, but I thought the knowledge was in the education system. So when I was 40, I decided to go back to school. So I went back, and I set my goals. By the time I got 50, I was going to have my GED, associate degree, and a bachelor's degree. So in the process of going back to school, the professors and the teachers, they respect me so highly, but I didn't know what I had inside of me. So the teacher would say, well, Mr. He said, you got great potentials here. And I said, where are they? They said, you have to bring them out. And I remember this one European man, he will teach me some reading skills, real high skills. So anyway, so he, I said, I did something. I said a negative word. And he screamed, don't say that. Because once you say that, you stop the brain and then have to start all over again. So, but I really didn't get angry. He said, well, I want you to get your GED, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, he walked me across the bridge and signed me up. For the GED. They were, I'm telling you, they were so nice to me. And what I did,
Lana, I lost you. Oh, sorry about that, everyone. Her phone disconnected. We're off of station identification break, and then we're going to come right back and see if we can get to Naima to finish her story, inshallah. Listening to the CWSC 5 Roundtable. I'm your host, Latifa Yami, and my co-host, Sister Elia Abdul-Rahman. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah. Sure. Ooh.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And welcome back to the Friday Roundtable, CWSC Friday Roundtable. See if I can get Manaima again. Assalamu alaikum, Manaima.
Well, alaikum, assalam.
Oh, you got the echo in there again. Okay.
Yes, I can't do anything about it, just this is by design.
Pardon me? Can you try to turn your volume down?
Let me see. I don't know what's going on.
Just a minute, Ima. All right, well, Let us
dial you. And,
is that
okay?
Better?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear it now?
Yeah. No, I can hear you now.
Okay.
So you ready for me to start now?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, then. All right. Go on. You can finish up your story, Sister Manana.
Okay. What I really wanted to say that I know it will help us because it helped me. And plus, our goal now is to unite human beings in America and the world. And that is with all the religious people, wherever they are, we are all one people. So I just want to say two things that happened to me on my journey. And this one is when I was younger, and I know you all know Joyce Myers. Joyce Myers came on, I guess I must have been in my early 20s, and she was also. So she said one word that stuck with me to this day. She explained, her whole talk, she was young, she didn't have much knowledge then, but she had a lot of common sense. So she talked about the word jealousy and envy. That word stuck with me all of my life and still with me today. She explained how it destroys you, how it takes your spirituality away from you, and it was a dangerous word. Now, this is the truth. And that stayed in my mind, and I do not want to be jealous of anyone. And I recall when Imam Wahid Muhammad taking leadership, he talked about jealousy. And he said, never be jealous of a brother or sister, because you do not know what that brother or sister did to get where they are today. I know what I did. I did everything under the sun, try to get as close to Allah as I could as a human being. I made that commitment when I was 35, that I was going to get as close to Allah as I could as a human being. So that's when I started on the spiritual path that I realized I was on it, but we were on it, I guess, all our lives. So, and I studied and prayed and meditated, and when I would go out of town to Atlanta, wherever, and someone would come and say, where's Manana? Someone said, oh, she's in there meditating. So I meditated day and night, and I'm going to say this one part, and I'm going to get up with that part. Anyway, when even Wahid Muhammad made the way, he was to go to Hajj, and I was afraid. I was afraid of my shadow, really. So when Hajj was out for me. So I began to pray at night. I meditated. And I would say I'm brave and I'm courageous. And I'm fearless, knowledgeable, and wise. I would say that over and over every night for 3 months. And one night I dreamed that I was on the plane and I was so brave, I opened the door and I stepped out on the wing. I woke up that morning and I went to the credit union and got my $900 and some this in the 57. Got my $900 and some, went to the credit union. And I went to Hajj, and I went to the cave where the Quran was built, the Prophet Muhammad. I taken a picture of me. They did on the camera. When I got back to America, I went back to that same school, and I had some slides from Hajj, and I asked the professor if I could do a presentation. He looked at the picture with me on Hajj, and he said, it's a lot of history in this picture. This is what the European man told me. That was in 67. So I began to look at the picture, and I began to see, I said, here I am at this spot where the Quran was built upon Muhammad. And here I am, well, it's a way, like up to the lab, and the other, I'll tell it another day. But I came back to America, and I did presentations almost every place I could imagine. So my experience, I'm saying this because I believe it will motivate us, because we are not where we're supposed to be. We should be out here teaching these people who they are and who the Creator is and how we connect. The Creator has unlocked this knowledge in the universe. It's everywhere. But if we have to have a mind that in accord with the divine laws, the law of cause and effect, these are serious laws, the law of cause and effect. Really, if we would think about it, if we do something that's not right, there's another law to break to catch you with there. If you're in China, you're going to break a law and you come back to America, that law is still there. and it's going to get you. These are just simple things that we should teach our children, please. Everything that we know, teach our children. And I want to say this, if I may. Teach our children about the universe, about the earth and nature. This keeps them in tune with Allah, the Creator, because the Creator created everything in this universe. And when we are teaching our children about these objects that the Creator has created, it keeps their mind connected. And when you're out playing in the summertime, look at the trees, you can just, oh, Allah, the Creator made this tree, and just explain it, just talk about it. You don't talk all the time, but just keep it on their mind so it'll stay in their consciousness. So those are the one more thing I want to say, and I believe it will help me. This while I'm just skipping around, because we, it's so much that we need to know and teach our children, because our children are the ones that's going to bring civilization back to this planet, because we are not living in a civilized world. But when we teach our children about the Creator in this universe, then they develop the concept that when they grow up, they would teach civilization and we would have a civilized world. So this last thing I wanted my experience was that I was listening to a video, and it was a rabbi, and he was saying that he and his son was going to go in the cave, and he was going to get one of the verses on the Torah, and he was going to study for 3 years. But I thought he was talking about a physical, but it wasn't physical, it was spiritual. So what I did, I said, I'm going to take a verse I get from the Quran. So I take it, I think it was Surah 18 and Ayat 60. He says, Moses said to his descendant, I will not give up until I reach the junction of the two seas. Well, you know what that is? The junction of the two seas is the physical, the spiritual knowledge and the physical knowledge. So I studied that for years, and I still read it today. So read that. And one more thing I want to say to you, because these are words, and I remember even while Stephen Hammer came in the scene, he was that words make people. The word, just take a word, self-control, for example. Take the word self-control, you find it in the Quran or wherever you want to. Self-control, that is the most important, powerful word in this universe. Self is the real you. That is the Creator's presence within you, and the Creator's presence is with us all the time. It's in the whole universe. And the control, teach the children how to control their thoughts and their desires and their urges. We should teach our children self-control. That is a key element in changing our lives. So you can say, we were compassionate. These words, take a word and teach them. Give them examples. We really must be more concerned about our children, because that enemy is after our children's minds. And if you watch these ads, they're teaching them to buy, 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 buy. So we have to protect our children's minds with the Creator's laws and the nature in which they were created. So, Sister Latisha, I think I'll go around.
All right. All right, Sister Manaima, what I'm going to do is, inshallah, I want to take just a few minute break, and then I'm going to call you and see if there's a better connection where I can put you in the studio, okay? So can you do that for me? Just answer that when I call, inshallah. So we'll come back, and we're going to open up the line. Sister Manaima has so much to say. I mean, she is so knowledgeable about life. And so to listen to her is really a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please be patient with us this morning. She is very, she can take a little bit of something. So we're going to take just a few minutes here, and then we're going to come back and open up the lines to the listening audience. And I see that I have someone hand up. I'm going to give to you in just a moment. Just need to get this all together. Inshallah, I promise you. I won't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted. From religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you. You are invited to CWSC National Town Hall. Straight to the point. The 50-year human family planning. That's every second Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for 5 to 7 hours. Yes, you've heard it right. And we need your contribution. You want to be a part of the discussion and the solution? Please dial 910-317-0297. Again, we are inviting you to join us every second Saturday for the discussion and for solutions to the 50-year human family planning. It is a CWSC National Town Hall, straight to the point. Your contribution is needed. We want to be informed. We want to implement, and we want to initiate documents. We have identified that we do need a 50-year human family planning. Let's remake the world into a better place. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and welcome back. Do we have Manina on? Is there echo?
No. I don't know what she said.
Okay.
I don't know. She said it was an echo.
910-824. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the CWSC Friday Roundtable. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Is that Manina?
You can hear me?
Oh, yes. I can hear you really good now. All right, we're going to open up the lines to the listening audience. Let you tell us how long have you been a Muslim, Sister Manina?
When I was about 17, about 1950.
All right, so then tell us. All right, so tell us. You don't mind telling us your age, because we know that you know. That wisdom always come with age, but in your case, it definitely comes.
Well, I feel like I'm 35. Did you hear me?
Yes, I heard it.
Yes, I feel like I'm 35.
But you mind telling your age?
I don't think I'll say that. I might get left out.
I'm saying that because of the wisdom, and then the wisdom that you have, just showing people that you got all this. I mean, with your age and with what you know, people will stand up and listen to you anyway. Because
I'm 86. You hear me? Yes.
So we already know that this is that's a wonderful thing, you know. All right, so Aaliyah, you have any questions for her, Shala?
No, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, sister. Thank you for coming on. 86, mashallah. I laugh because my grandmother, you know, you're wise. And it's because of your age, and like Latifa said, and I know that, just because someone's old doesn't mean they're wise, but you are. Alhamdulillah, you have a lot of interesting things. I took notes, like I usually do. until someone raises their hand, I had a couple of things I wanted to comment on that you said. About the younger generation and how we need to work with them and talk to them, there's something called the clubhouse. Someone sent it to me this week. And I was listening. That is precisely what they were talking about. There was one group who was all for just listening to the young people. And then there was another group who was mid-age. I think they were in their 40s. You couldn't see them, but I was listening. It was like a podcast. But the Clubhouse, I don't really know exactly what that is. Maybe somebody can call. I know that people can tell me. But they had a discussion going. And the mature group who was in their 40s, they said, we have to listen to the older people. Because with them, they come with knowledge. They came with mistakes. They can tell us where to go before we make these mistakes. The young person was saying, no, the young people, we got it going on. We got this. We got that. So what you're saying is absolutely true. And we should talk to the younger group, and they should listen. Because they will make mistakes. We made mistakes, but at least we're old enough to tell them before you step in that hole, watch out. You know, and some of them will listen, some won't. And Joyce Myers, okay, I'm going to jump to that. You spoke about Joyce Myers. I found out about Joyce Myers about 10 or 15 years ago. Someone told me about her. And when I went on the air last year, the year before, I would bring up mental illness and different words. Every day I would have a different word to help us get through. And one day it was on jealousy, and the next day it was on envy. And it's amazing you said that, because I just spoke to a friend of mine, my relative rather, yesterday. We were talking about jealousy and envy, and those are two dangerous things. And you're absolutely correct. We have to stay away from jealousy and envy. So I was glad that you said that, and I'm going to call my cousin after the show and tell her that, you know, you, with your age and wisdom, and you picked up on that, everybody has to understand what Allah gave us, he gave us. We shouldn't be jealous of nobody. You have to take that to Allah. We have to be content and satisfied and happy with what Allah gave us, because we have something that somebody else may like and want and want to know. So I appreciate you saying that. You said something also about being both. Yeah. The two generation got to stay focused. And I'm not talking about just on school or whatever they're going into, because when I look out and see those eyelashes and all the different things, I'm in an area where there's a lot of young women, and they're looking like they all want to look alike. And they got to stay focused. You know, you're absolutely correct. I could just go on and on with staying focused. And you mentioned about staying connected. It kept going in and out. So if you could say that again, if we have a good connection, you said teach our children about the universe to stay connected. And then my side faded out. So I appreciate everything you said, and I can't wait to hear more. And if you could just talk about that part again.
Okay,
just
we're connected. The connection is just think about this. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Being connected, you have to think. We have to think deep. We can't just think on the surface. We think real deep. Okay, you think about when Allah created this universe. We don't know when, where, what, but we know the Creator is in charge of it. Let's say he created this at the very center of this universe. Let's say envision the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the planets and nature, everything is out there. So, okay, when he created the human family, human beings, everything that was created before, previously, went into the creation of us. And I would wonder, I would read about my vitamins, and I would say, everything is in the vitamins in the earth. That's because everything that the Creator had created put into humanity. So that makes us united into oneness. We all emerge into oneness. But the enemy wants us to think we are different. And the Creator has made us tribes and families so that we will know each other and be able to get along in harmony. And our purpose is today, even in the past, every group of people had an opportunity to help create or bring the human family back into unity. But everyone has failed to unite the family like the Creator had created us in the first place. The last person, a group of people that take a leadership of this planet. They've messed the world up worse than ever. So now the world is all divided up, all the whole planet Earth. So now it has to go through a chaotic cleansing. All the evil and the corruption has to come out. It has to be revealed to see what the other people did over these thousands of years or however has messed the world up. Even the physical Earth, they almost tried to destroy it. But now, since there's so much chaos to bring out the truth of these people in the past, then we will take a leadership and treat each other like the Creator wanted us to treat each other with kindness, love, and respect. And think about this now. We are all one consciousness. I want to read this. Do I have time to read this?
Yes.
Do I have time to read this? Okay, I want to read this. This is in the Quran, and I use the Bible too. It says here, it's Surah 9, and it's in Ayat 22. And this is in the footnote. This is big because this made me feel so good when I read it. Those who strive and suffer in Allah's causes are promised a mercy special from himself. And this talking to all of humanity, Christians, Jews, everybody. From his own good pleasure, guarding a polite delight. Listen at this. This is what I want you to listen to. The supreme reward, the Creator's own presence, a nearness. These are the guardians. It is a special mercy higher than flows out to all consciousness. It is the consciousness of Allah. I want you to hear that. This all human beings on this planet Earth has the consciousness of Allah, the Creator. The consciousness. So we have Allah's consciousness. That made me feel so good when I read this. Read this, please. It's footnote 1271. Just read it and read it. Because when we have the Creator, this thing, we have the Creator's consciousness in us. So we are able to see everything as we grow and develop. It's collectiveness. That we are all one. So when we are conscious of Allah, the Creator, then our knowledge and our wisdom, and we are able to see and have vision. And like today, these people today, a lot of them, they cannot see off the top end of their nose. But when Allah gives you vision, you're able to see the whole picture. You see your surroundings. You see what's coming on. You can protect young people. You can let them know what's going on. So this is what I just wanted to do. Just think about the consciousness of Allah. We have the consciousness of the Creator within us. Not only Christian, Jews. We all are the same people. We were made by the same Allah, the same Creator. So we must get this in our minds so we can stop being divided. We are so divided, our families, and we have to come together. We must come together. That's what I want to say.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Oh. All right, Sister Manila, you know, I know you do, you have books, and I know you have children. You're really into the younger generation, which makes it so wonderful, because you see the fact that they are our tomorrow. So, Elaborate a little bit on some of the books that you have that deals with children.
Well, my first book was Amanda's Process in It. And a process in it. Now, our children, most of them have a process in it. That means they do not see themselves in their mind's eye as an intelligent, good human being. Because a lot of times it is our fault, the parents, because we'll call our children names and we'll say, oh, you're just like your old no good dad or no good. We say all these negative words to these children, and these words, the image is going into their minds, and as they grow and develop, they see themselves as ugly and insecure
So how are they going to feel confident in going out into the world? No, they're afraid of everything. And when I started going into the schools, I thought it was only our children that had a poor self-image. But then I was going to, with all human beings, you know, all children, Caucasian and whatever, and they had a poor self-image. So I began to think back. And as in the 50s, I think it was, up until the 50s, we would have our babies at home. And then they started putting us in the hospital. And in the hospital, when you had your baby, then they would take the baby, clean it up, take it, put it in this glass container, nothing touching the body, absolutely nothing touching the body. But back in the day, when the baby was born, the mother, whomever, would take the baby and wash it up and put a blanket around it, and so it could still feel that warmth, that protection. But putting this baby in this tube with this light on it, this had a psychological effect on these children, these babies. That was an experiment. Let us stop letting these people experiment on our children. I'm talking to all of humanity, Europeans, whatever you are. We must take the responsibility for humanity in this world. If not, what are we going to do? They're keeping us divided. We are one people. Whatever's in this earth is in all of us. The Creator didn't create this one better than the other. We're all the same. And we got to think about this and protect our children's minds. And this education institution, we must change the curriculum and everything in it and teach the whole person. We have to teach them mentally, physically, and spiritually and who he is, that he is great or she is great. They are great human beings because the Creator made them great. We must get this curriculum and put it out there. Now, I have written this curriculum. It's grades K through 12. No one yet has come to me and said, well, Mrs. Shaheed, we will help you to get this curriculum out there. The curriculum is almost finished. It just needs some money, some real money, and some people to expand it. The book, A Man of Poor Self-Image, that's an excellent book. That's a beautiful book. I need somebody to help. It's just me. Because now I had, you know, people at the college level, they were helping edit it and all that because I didn't have a lot of money. And out of all this project, to be honest with you, I got $1,500 from the city in Milwaukee. It was Nanaimo doing caregiving work, and my husband, and of course my son and my daughter gave me quite a bit of money on the road side. But it's just, and as my dear friend, Dr. Lewis at Marquette, he would do a 100-page book. And so, oh, Mr. He, you don't have to pay me anything. I said, yeah, I have to give you something. And I said, well, and I give him $25 for all that work. Because that's all I would have. But anyway, all I have is this. And I have all this material. I need some human beings to work with me, to help me get this material out there. And another book is the Granny book. That is Granny Shows the Power of the Mind. Granny Shows the Power of the Mind. Now, these books are written. They are beautiful. They're professional. They hardcover. And the other one is Granny Show with the Power of the Mind and Granny, oh, The Hidden Sense. Well, that's an excellent book because it teaches children to think about that little voice that speaks to them inside. And as I was in the school, I would ask the kids, I said, have you ever disobeyed your mother? And she said, don't do this. And you go out and you get in trouble. They said, yeah, because it teaches something. And also adults read, they can get their message to it also. So anyway, that's about, oh, and I have another book. It's been tied up for a long time because they didn't want it out there. It's How I Saw President Obama on the Campaign Trail. Now that book is finished. I got one more thing to do to it. And another book is The Seven Steps That Lead, I'm going to tell you what happened to that book. Seven Steps That Lead to Oneness. This is that book. I put that book in 2014. That book went on Amazon, and they just tried to smother the book. And so I got tired of arguing with them. So I just let it go. And I went back about the first of this year and looked at my book I covered everything, and ain't nobody came to me yet to tell me to get a, oh yeah, I did get a lawyer one time, and I paid $2,000. He just took my money, but anyway, back to the book. You know how many views they had for my book? 2 million hits for my book. That was the first of the year I looked on that. Nobody came to me yet and said, listen, he, I'm going to get this lawyer for you, and I'm going to help you. No, not a one. In another book I just put out there, right now this leads to oneness. Okay, I send this to a publisher out in Pennsylvania, and they really was going to do the book, but they kept harassing the people, messing with the email, and they couldn't open the book, just a lot of stuff. So then they wrote me and said that they think they will wait a while. And so I had a lot of books written up. So what they did, I'm going to tell you the truth. They came in and it destroyed my whole publishing company. I want the world to know this, what they did to Menahem Shahid. And they cannot stop Menahem Shahid because a lot of the creators behind me, and I have other people who support me. So that's it for right now.
Wow. A lot of good information there. So, inshallah, Sister Manina, that people are listening, and inshallah, you'll be able to get all of what you need to get out. I know I'm pitching in to help. I know we're having you on to do some things here at CWSC, and so we hear you. We hear you, and we are there. So, alhamdulillah. And listening audience, she's been working on this for a while. She's been making a plea. So if anyone out there can give her a hand, just please call in to the 910 number, 910-317-0297, or just text us or email us at info@cwsc.us, inshallah. All right, Sister Manila, we're going to take
Thank
a quick
you.
Break and then come back. You are so welcome. I think, you know, I believe in what you're doing, alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, when we come back, we're going to let you have the last 5 minutes of words of wisdom and then, you know, and then give us some contact information to get in contact with you, inshallah. You're listening to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I'm your host, Atifa Ami, and my co-host here, Alia Abdul-Rahman. You can connect with us online at am360.org or by 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Join us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at CWSURA. Like us on Facebook, Community Wide Shura Conference. Visit the website of our parent company, Community Wide Shura Conference, Inc., at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment, 910-317-0297. You're listening to AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
And welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. I'm your host, Atifa Yameen, with Aliyah Abdul-Rahman as my co-host, and our esteemed sister, Manaima Shaheed. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Manaima, and we hear you, inshallah. And we want to open up the list. If anyone has any questions or comments for Sister Manaima, please press 1 to get in the queue, inshallah. All right, Sister Manaima, I'm going to give you that last, the last words of wisdom and the contact information, inshallah.
Oh, thank you so much. But the main thing I want to put out to the mother, please, watch your child's mind. Be protective of their mind, because their mind is what takes them through life, and try and put good things into their mind. Always teach them about the Creator. Teach them how beautiful they are, inside and outside. And if when they do something good, just always praise them and say they are great because Allah gave you this beautiful mind. Always put the Creator in it so that they will grow up knowing that the Creator is in charge, and they will always have that connection, and they will follow like those divine laws because they're in them already. Everything is already inside of us, everything. It's nothing on the outside. Absolutely nothing can harm us. We have all the power, all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the help, all the everything that's already clocked in us. So we don't need nothing out here. We need everything that's on the inside in order to get the good thing that out there, that is out there for us. Just out there. And that television, these cartoons, all this stuff, keep them away from your child's mind because there are subliminal messages in there that will destroy your child. They're very subliminal, and the music, they have a lot of subliminal. This world is not a righteous world, I'm telling you, it's not. The enemy who do not want the Creator and his people on this planet, they are constantly putting these negative images and these words in this music so it can take them under. And one more thing I'm going to ask, please, to the imam, the brother, whomever, they have a fad, whatever you call it, going around. All they do is swear. This man was on, I was at this young lady's house. He was a comedian. Every word came out was a terrible word. And then, because I don't know how to watch TV, and I noticed these people, our people, he saying these bad words. If it's a woman, they got to say that name. And this just swearing all the time. We got to stop that because they take this ignorance to other countries and put this on. Then they think we are the worst people in the world because they already go to other countries and plant these venom seeds about us that we are the worst folks in the world. When we built America, we built America. We built it. And all the great things, most of it, we built it. We study the history. So we must stop these whomever doing all this swearing. I noticed the women, they started doing it. So this something, my dear brothers and sisters, whether you're Muslim, Christian, whatever, we have to stop this. This is America. America is supposed to be one of the greatest countries on earth. Now, I've always heard growing up in this society that America will be a model for the world. Well, it's not going to happen in our time, but it's going to happen. This Western Hemisphere, I'm telling you, it is going to be a great country one day. But who's going to make it? We have to make it. And we have to plant the seed in our children's minds and do not let these satanic forces put these negative seeds in their minds and create a world like we had in the past. That's something.
And thank you so much, Mr. Manaima. Now, if someone wants to get in contact with you.
Well, the number that I have is, I have so many numbers. Listen, you understand about those numbers I have. don't laugh at me. I have four phones here. I said, if they try to stop one, I have another one.
That's an inside joke, sis.
I cannot keep up with all these numbers, I'm telling you. I'm going to find this one that you might be able to get through sometime, let me see. Well, I can't let them stop me. I have to keep going.
You won't? I know.
Okay.
Every time I talk with you, you called me from another number here. But you want me to give this number here to the 9 in case anyone will contact you. That's 910-824-2044, 910-824-2044, inshallah. Thank you so, so much, Mr. Manaima. We appreciate you.
Okay.
And we're going to, we're still going to be continue on, moving on up. And you're going to be doing a learning lab with CWSC. It's a learning lab. So you'll be taking your oath of office pretty soon. So that's exciting. So we'll be in contact with you more about that. We'll send you some information, inshallah.
Okay.
All right, Sister Manaima? All right.
That's great.
And thank you for taking time.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you so much. All right, sis.
Yeah, so much.
All right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You're welcome to stay on, too, sister. Walaikum assalam. You're welcome to stay on for the remaining of the program, inshallah. All right. We're going to take a station identification. We're waiting for our next guest. She's usually here. You want to try her, inshallah?
Yeah.
All righty. We're going to take a station identification break. We'll touch the dial. We'll be right back, inshallah. All right here. Oh, I'm getting it together here.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waazuddin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matters. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back to the CWSC Friday Roundtable. Now, while we're waiting for our guests to come, just a few, couple announcements here. Tomorrow, inshallah, we have, not tomorrow, Sunday, on the 20th, we have a town hall. And this town hall is going to be more political. We're talking about after the elections and what we do now and how we are, you know, where do we go from here? As Muslims. So this is going to be a very good political town hall this Sunday from 3 o'clock to 5 Eastern Standard Time. So we have a packed full house on Sunday. We have Study of Islam at 10, and then we're coming back at 1:30 for Sister Rabiha Jackson, which I will be interviewing. She will interview me, inshallah, on her program, The Reading of a Good Book, one of my books. She will be interviewing me at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time on this Sunday, the 20th. And then at 3 o'clock, we have the town hall. That is the political arena town hall after the election. And then coming at 5 o'clock, the Contemplations of Imam Waazuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh. So we have a packed house this Sunday. Please join us. You don't want to miss any of it. It's going to be a really fun, packed Sunday starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time all the way to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be on the air for that whole time on Sunday, inshallah. I'm excited. So, and I hope you're excited too. Just dial in to AM 360 and listen in. We have AM 360. You know, we have the AM360.org. You know that, and listen. Again, we said, and all the 24-hour streaming, 701-719-4197. So we're excited about all the things that are coming up with the 50-year plan and just so many things that are going on. And next week, we're going to switch the seats a little bit. Sister Alia, she will be interviewing Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director, and also Latifa Hameen, CEO of AM360. So we're going to have that the first hour of the CWSC Friday Round. So I'm excited about that. And I know Sister Alia is excited as well about hosting the whole program, inshallah. And she has another guest that's coming on as well. Don't forget, the United Taaleen is going to be this Sunday as well. Wow, I forgot about the United Taaleen. So we have a full house. When I say full house Sunday, I mean full house. Study of Islam, and then we have the United Taaleen. From 11:30 to 1 on Sunday. Then we're coming and we're having 1:30 to 3. We'll have the Read a Good Book. And, of course, I will be being interviewed. And then we have a political arena with a town hall from 3 to 5. And then the Contemplations of Imam Waazuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, with Imam Kareem and Michael Hameed. So, full house on Sunday.
Wow.
Nonstop. All day. So you have to join in. Anytime you dial that number, you're going to get a slice derby on Sunday. Alhamdulillah.
So you need to dial the 515 number.
Yes, yes. Good. That 515-605-9891. Dial that number. We're going to be on all day on Sunday, you know.
Sunday.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be it.
And then by the time you have breakfast, it's almost time for Taaleen. And then by the time you have Taaleen, right after that is Zuhr. Right after that is the next prison schedule.
Yeah, the next, the 1:30, yeah, reading a good book. And
and then you pray again, and then you do something else. What's the next thing, Sam?
Yeah, all day, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we are running the whole day. If you don't have nothing to do, turn on to
515-605-9891,
and you're
going to
get something that day.
Yes, or either AM360.org. You don't have a phone. You got 24-hour streaming, 771-719-4197. Or, like I said, you can go online at AM360.org. So we have no excuses. It's everywhere. No excuses. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Were you able to get in contact with our next guest, sister?
Yeah. She said, she just texted me. She said she's coming. She's sorry. You know, she's a, well, I can't wait to hear what forensic psychology is.
I'm really not.
It's so much knowledge coming from all, you know, all of our guests. So I'm trying to keep up. I'm looking at the paperwork. So, yeah, she said she's coming. And
you want to go on and read her bio? Because she's already on. She is also... Dr. Lisa Stewart is also the director of the Speakers Bureau. So here on CWSC.
Okay, so let me start reading her before she comes on. Just look out for her. Aretha Stewart, PhD, is a candidate, is a graduate of Walden University of Minnesota in forensic psychology, and she did this in 2021. With additional credentials from Trinity College of Natural Health, with a doctorate of naturopathy in 2001, as well as certified life coach and ordained minister. Dr. Aretha, as author refers, has a wide variety of experience working with students. She's taught over 30 years, also working to promote positive mental health with individuals, families, and groups via Zoom to ensure reaching individuals in varying walks of life. She's especially passionate to talk about mental and physical abuse experienced by both men and women, and she authored a book journal titled So I've Had Sex, Now What? To Help and Encourage Enlightenment in Young Women, and her dissertation, Why Boys and Men Do Not Report Mental or Physical Abuse, especially perpetrated by females. Dr. Aretha is currently on a licensure track and specializes in working with individuals, couples, and families to encourage mental health support and reduce mental health stigma. Dr. Aretha enjoys traveling the country, Europe, and Africa. She currently lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and she spends her free time sewing, reading, crocheting, and singing. Her office is currently virtual, so she can meet you in a place that's comfortable for you. However, if more intensive therapy is encouraged, she has an organization in which she has recommend. And that's her. So we're waiting for her to come on. She told me she's on her way, and I'm assuming that she's coming from somewhere. Well, I don't know, because it's early in the morning there, so maybe you know the time frame.
Yeah, 6 o'clock. She's Pacific time. And Dr. Aretha, if you're on, press 1 to get in the queue. I know she's supposed to be coming on here, but if you're on, press 1 to get in the queue. If you are on the studio board, inshallah, we're excited to have her. Here she is right here. All right.
Here.
I have to admit her.
Yeah, I was looking for that. 727. I don't know.
No, that's Martha. Hey, good morning, Dr. Lee.
Yeah.
Dr. Lisa, you there? And she's connecting to audio.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Yeah, but this is good timing because now she's already read up and I've done her bio, so we're just waiting for her to. I have my questions already because of.
Yeah. And she's going to talk about, we can get her to talk a little bit about this book that she's read, that she's written.
Yeah.
That I know is very intriguing for you.
Yeah. Nobody will ever come in to say that.
Yeah.
So
number one. Dr. Aretha, unmute your phone. Dr. Aretha, unmute your phone. Okay, she's still on mute. All right, so yeah. All right, we want to know what is that? What are you talking, you know, what the whole book is about, inshallah. Should be interesting. Dr. Aretha, you can take yourself off mute, please? Okay, she's still on mute. All righty, we're going to wait on her. But
what I've learned, because I kind of scanned a little bit of the abstract of the book, it's a workbook.
Okay.
So one about black hat sex. Now, what if she comes with, when she's unmuted, let me know. Because she can tell us about it. She made a workbook it's like a workbook for young people to look at so they can prepare or, be aware of what's going to happen when they do have sex. So that's that book. And the other one is her dissertation, Why Men and Boys Not Report Mental or Physical Abuse. So this is going to be interesting. I wanted to hear about both of those. A workbook before you have sex. That's going to be interesting. I wanted to take you to high school. Yeah.
Here she is, Dr. Rika.
Oh, boy. Yes.
We have you finally. We've been trying to figure out what your book is all about here. So we're going to turn it over to you so you can tell us, so we can stop guessing.
Good morning. I've done your book. We've discussed both the titles of the book, so we're just waiting on you to come, just like Latifa said. Just tell us about, start off with the wild sex. You don't mind. Just because, who would write a book to let people know what they're supposed to be expecting and what they're going to do, how you're going to do it. Just tell us about that workbook. I know it's a workbook because I spread up a little bit on the book. Yes, it is kind of a workbook. I call it the book / journal. And it actually, I came up with the idea of when I was living at that time in Texas at first when I was teaching, because I had students, female students, who didn't really know anything about their bodies. A lot of them had gotten pregnant and had children when they were even 13 and 14, basically, I guess, because of their ethnicity and what they believed in, what they thought. I got the guidance then when I was writing the reproductive system. But when I moved to Vegas and a friend of mine invited me to their home for pregnant girls, that's when I really, when I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm watching and they're asking me, girls, well, what, you're supposed to go into school. Why aren't you going to school? And she says, well, one of them said, well, I didn't get a ride to school today. And she's like, wait a minute, what do you mean you didn't get a ride to school? get out there and take a bus. So a couple of the girls were really upset. So they felt like, well, somebody's supposed to be taking me. And so she was trying to explain to them, no, they're not supposed to take you. You're supposed to go on your own. And so on my way out back to the car, I was like, my goodness, these girls, they're here, but it's like they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They're having these babies, and some of them had, a couple of girls that just had theirs, and then a few of them that were still there were still pregnant. And I'm like, wow, don't you realize that after you have these children, you have to take care of them? Because you're in a home right now doesn't mean that you're going to have somebody else to take care of them. You don't have any babies. And as I was getting in the car, it just kind of came to me, so I've had sex now. Because I'm like, I was sitting there and I was like, these girls have no idea, first of all, I don't think about their body, because they're so young. And then, what they're supposed to do afterward, they have no idea. So the book is actually going through the stages from day one. And the first question even, I think, in the journal is, in fact, I know in the journal is the age that you got to start having sex. And it's a personal thing. It's not necessarily to be shared. However, I have used it in groups, and the girls can share what they want to share with that if they choose to. Some of the parts of it by just asking questions. They don't necessarily have to tell me what they have actually written about. It just opens up a conversation. With some young ladies. And I've also been told that some of the young men also kind of have looked at the books and are like, oh, okay, that's that's not bad, and have kind of answered some of the questions themselves. But the Giza book, actually, they have to put a goal. They have to do goals. And goals are a one-year goal, a five-year goal, and then I think a 10-year goal. And if they have children, they have to include that child in their goal as to what they want to achieve. Mm-hmm. Because I want them to know that just because you've had sex, you know, and you've gotten pregnant, and now you have the child, that life doesn't stop there. You know, you still have to decide, you know, are you going to finish high school? Are you going to go to college? Are you going to get a job? You know, just to make them think, because they have to be realistic goals, and the realistic goals have to include their child if they have children. So that's basically what the journal's about. The second edition actually talks more about some of the venereal diseases that they can get and how. And, of course, going, having to go to the doctor to make sure that they are, you know, diagnosed properly if they're having certain problems. If it also gives them some signs and some symptoms that they may possibly experience if they have any type of venereal disease itself. And I got all that information from the Mayo Clinic itself. So it's the second edition has a little bit more to it than the first one in that respect.
Yeah, you did, but you
know,
I have a question.
Before you go on, sister,
oh,
I just want to know. That's okay. I have I've been in queue for a while. I've been doing knowledge.
Okay.
636-980. I'm Lisa. I'm Brother Imam Kareem. You're on the air, Imam Kareem. Hope I didn't wait too long. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Imam Kareem. Okay, maybe he's off right now. All right, we're going to go on. If you have a question, press 1 to get in the queue. If not, press 1 to get out of the queue. So I'll know that you don't have a question, inshallah. Press 1 to get in the queue, and then press 1 to get out of the queue. Okay? All right. All right, go on, sister Allen.
Yeah, I don't see the, I'm trying to adjust my, I don't see in when people raise their hands, so I didn't see that. Okay, what about Brother Blouse? He's trying to connect?
Yes.
Okay, let me see. Oh, I was watching a show this week, a nursing show or a doctor show, I forgot the name, and they were bringing on children or young adults to do this precisely same thing you did. Are you incorporating, can you incorporate this into the school system, into some of the schools in the area, just so the kids can get a whiff of the knowledge of the book? Because they're thinking, unless somebody tells them, and it's an interesting book, and for men and young men who want to answer the questions, that means it's captivating. They never thought about it.
Alia, you got the sun on your face.
I'm bringing a lot of light, right? I don't have that problem. I haven't lit up yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm right across from a window. Okay, but you heard my question, though, right?
Yes, I did. Yes,
okay.
I heard your question.
Right. No, it has not been incorporated into the school system, so I would love for it to be incorporated, because I think that it's a good start, especially in middle school, where the kids are thinking that if they have oral sex, that it's not sex, because it's not through penetration, and just letting them know that, you know, sex is sex, and, you know, it's oral, it's vaginal, it's anal, it's whatever, so that they know how that they can actually get the same diseases, not only down below, as they call it, as the kids refer to it, but that they can also get it in their mouth as well.
Mm.
So I would love for it to be incorporated.
Yeah, it would be interesting, because a lot of children, you mentioned somebody young, they haven't even started their menses yet. So they're out there just, what they call it, free willy or nilly willy or whatever that's called.
Yeah,
they don't know what they're doing.
Some of them actually have not started menses, but now for
reason, these groups really actually started their message a lot earlier.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Years old,
yeah. Years
old. It's not happening.
Yes,
like
yes.
Eight years old. I was working in the hospital, and they actually had a girl who was 8 years old having given birth to a child.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta do something with this.
That's what ends up happening, you know? That's why it's so important for these children to get this information, because they don't know. They're just walking around aimlessly. They don't really know what's what. So the more information you give them, and the same thing I did with the domestic violence, going into the school system and talking with the high school students on domestic violence, because a lot of them just don't know. We need to incorporate more things like that into the school system, especially when they have the health classes. We need to go into the health classes and really, really do that, because it's so important, because you just don't know. And
you're absolutely correct. 8 years old, I'm still thinking about what you said. 8 years old, I'm trying to think, what grade is that, the third grade? Or, you know, and I'm thinking because of they go into this is where the ACCE comes in, and, you know, all the different adverse childhood experiences, and they get emotional, and then they go into behaviors, and that's when they call me into the school. And then they're wondering, where are the parents? What were the parents doing? How come this child is having sex? Who's watching that child? And then it goes right back to the parents, and that's what I end up dealing with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's just 8 years old. Okay, so, yeah, you can continue. I'm still on that. I'm stuck on that.
And unfortunately, when they start, you know, having sex, they understand their whole, everything changes about them, because, you know, even as a young girl or a young boy, when they start having the sex, all of a sudden their attitudes change, and they feel like they're grown. And they start doing what they feel like grown-up things at that point. They argue back. They go through all kinds of other changes. You know, it's very interesting. Very, very interesting. But yeah, I would love to have this book in the school system. I just haven't figured out how to get it there yet. I do have some friends that are educators, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something. Let's go on and talk about, okay, you have some things, since it's already happened, but let's talk about ways that we can prevent that happening, because I know of our children, and everybody's children should not be even engaging in that type of thing. That's the time they need to be playing. That's the time they need to be just getting, you know, just loving on them at that time. So, yeah, and so what can we do as parents? Because I know as Muslims, you know, we don't want to look at it, but it falls on all of us. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, we're protected, but I've known situations where we're not protected. So we have to talk about these hard things, because those are things that we want to shut out, but we got to talk about these things. It's so important to let them have the knowledge. Some people want to sleep it under the rug because they don't want to deal with it, but it's happening out there. And so what can we do as parents to help in these kind of situations? What are some of the things that we can do? Let's talk about some of the things that we can do as parents to ward off these kind of things, inshallah.
Oh, and one of the biggest things is being open and honest. We as parents, unfortunately, and this brings up a whole other subject, but unfortunately we teach our children how to tell untruths or to lie to us or however you want to put it. Unfortunately, we do. Now, as parents, we don't want to admit that, but it's truth. And how that happens is that parents ask a child from a very young age, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, if they did something, and the child, you know, at the time they're innocent, they'll say yes. And then the parent will chastise them, either by spanking them or, you know, punishing them, putting, making them stand in the corner or whatever. Anyway, they're being punished. So the next time the parent, you know, the child does something, the parent comes back and says, hey, did you do such and such? Did you break that? The child's going to say, no, I didn't. And there comes the first untruth. You know, so we have to be careful from the very beginning on how we deal with our children. But some, of course, our children are older, and we have to just, you know, kind of start from there. But the thing is not being emotional when we ask them that question and they're honest with us. That, you know, take a deep breath and swallow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. How am I going to handle this as opposed to yelling and screaming and going through? Because when you start doing all that, the other person's going to shut down and you're not going to get anything accomplished. And getting the truth out would be the furthest thing from their mind. Mm-hmm. So how we start is to have open conversations, honest conversations, and keeping our feelings in the background. Not allowing it to, you know, create with our children, you know, and that's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, we have to remember if we want them to tell us the truth, we have to sometimes pull back. And I think that's one of the bigger things is just that communication, you know, that they can come and they can ask anything and everything that they want to ask and not have to worry about the repercussions of giving an honest answer.
I mean, that is good. I mean, sometimes as parents, reality is, it's an emotional, something that touches your heart, something that's close to your heart, that's emotional. It's hard to pull back from that because you're up and personal. And so I know as a parent, you know, you kind of restrain yourself because you want to know what's happening, but you know, it does take that self-restraint to say, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to hold myself. Because it's not an easy thing to do when something is close and near and dear to your heart. When something happens to your children, because they are near, they are, you know, close proximity to your heart. So that is a good thing. And we have to practice as parents, we have to practice listening and not just, you know, just going off, like you were saying. We have to listen to our children. We have to be willing to say,
we have to listen without always having to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, we have a tendency as parents to want to, we listen just so we can respond instead of listening to listen and
absolutely,
and to actually hear that child. So the book actually is to help in that conversation with the child, you know, where they feel like they can't ask that question to a parent, they can ask, you know, they can answer the questions or get some information from the book/journal because I have it there. You know, yes, you know, I'm pressured to have this, to have sex. I've had it. Now all of a sudden, what is it? I find that I'm pregnant. And even though this guy, this boy says he really, really loves me and that's why we're in this situation, is now listening to his friends. He's scared to death. And all of a sudden now, he's no longer wanting to be bothered. He's moved to the background, you know, or he's listening to his friends and says, how you know, it's yours, man, you know, kind of a thing to make them think in the book that, you know, let them know they're not by themselves. When we get into that situation that you've already had sex, you know, and how to maybe, you know, maneuver around it just a little bit. Because a lot of times what people don't understand, and this is the thing that I bring out in the book, is that, again, having sex changes a person's mindset, and they just can't think. So the book is to help them to think a little bit more and have some of their questions that they are asking answered when they can't ask them someone else.
Now, when you can answer, let me ask you this. You talk about the fact that, you know, men and women or girls and boys, whatever, we think differently. Where a woman or a young lady, when she thinks about sex with a guy, she thinks about love, she sees all these stars, and her mindset is totally different from the man's mindset, where his mindset is he's having a good time. He has no emotions in it. Most of the time, it's all about having fun. So when something happens, or if that person, he doesn't think about impregnating a girl or anything like that. All he thinks about, I'm having a good time. She's like, she's seeing stars because she's in love. So we have people on opposite ends of the spectrum there, and then we need to talk about that. Because once our emotions are there, we can't see anything. We're blind by emotions. And I think that that still goes on, and we talk about being married. And even I think about Islam, and when people are getting married, the women, they, I'm not saying the men aren't there, but we as women, as soon as we get emotional about a person or a man, we just lose our minds almost. And then you get married to a person, and then once you get married to them, they're not who you thought they were, because you couldn't see the forest, the tree being in the way. But see the big picture.
Goals and objections, goals and all these other things come in place. You know, women are so emotional. Just what Lakeitha was saying, just shaking my head, yes. You know, but what were your goals? What are your expectations? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking past that moment? Because women, we're just emotional.
And that's why it's important to have that.
Yeah, right.
Grasp it also, go through it and answer the questions
privately yourself to see why are you acting the way that you're acting in your later life as a college student, high school student, college student, wife, a mother, because a lot of the things that we do stem from back when we had our first sexual encounter, you know, and so we have to look, you know, look at that as well. And like I said, I think Latifah's book brings up even more of it because it talks about the trauma that you have as a young person following you throughout your adult life. And, you know, so I've had sex kind of is like a prelude to that, actually.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Ace come in, what Sister Aaliyah had brought up, is that's where Ace, when we think about Ace, adverse childhood experiences, that, you know, if you have unresolved issues when you're a child and you're going through all of that, if they're not resolved, sometimes you just bury them, and then you're an adult, you're just an adult with the same issues that you had when you were a child, because if you don't resolve those issues, they don't go away. You just bury them, and then you act out certain things and wonder why you're doing that. You say, oh, this is the way I am. No, this is the way you've learned to be because of situations that you've encountered. And sometimes we don't see that. So that's a thing, you know. But we're going to take a station identification break. We're going. What you say the last thing there?
Okay. No, I was just going to say, and along with the having sex when they're early, at such an early age, a lot of times comes what they call abuse, not only of the girl, but of the boy as well. And that's where
mm-hmm.
Into,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, that abuse is something. It all goes hand in hand, all of that.
It does.
You know, all of that.
Yeah. It should be a sex. We go with then Latifah, then the boys and the men abuse. And then I come in with the behaviors.
Hey, let's start thinking about that. We got to start thinking about that, inshallah. Well, put it together.
They call me in, and at the end of the day, it's not the child's behavior. It's the parents. How the parents have groomed that child to come into the school, and then they call me in to handle the behavior. And then I have to talk to the parents, and that's when I use my chop chops.
Yeah.
We all need to be on tour together. That's something to think about.
Yeah, it is something to think about. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a station identification break. We're listening to Dr. Rita Stewart. She has the book Sex. You Got Sex Now What? She's talking about a workbook and how, you know, the children have had, you know, just giving them a sense of responsibility. Hopefully we can do some preventive so that when they won't have to have had sex. You know, inshallah. But now the reality is there are some that will be doing that. So we have to be able to have something for everyone involved, inshallah. All right. Share your Juma today is going to be at, I think it's Imam Jahad Mukman of El Mukman Islamic Center in St. Louis, Missouri. And that is going to be at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, 1:30 Central Standard Time. And it will be 11:30 Pacific Standard Time, inshallah. And please join us back. And then at 6 o'clock p.m., Community Developmental Stages, sorry, that's at 7. You have Community Buzz at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then 7 o'clock, Community Developmental Stages, all with yours truly, Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director of CWSC, inshallah. So we ask that you come back and join us to share your Juma today, inshallah. And you can connect with us online at am360.org or by 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. You can join us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at CWShura. Like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference. Visit our company, parent company, cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment, 910-317-0297. You're listening to the AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Together, we can remake this world into a better place. And we want to open up for the listening audience. If anyone has any questions or comments, please press 1 to get in the queue, inshallah. We're going to be right back. I'll press the dial.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Hello, welcome back. And we, again, we're talking with Dr. Rita Stewart. She's also the director of the Speakers Bureau. I lost it for a minute. It's like, ooh. I mean, like Martha says that once you turn the corner, you forget everything that came before that. That is so funny to me. And it's so true. Once I turn the corner, I'm like, oh, I forgot all about that. So, you know, getting older is not for babies and sissies. It is, because I'm telling you, it's a trip. But anyway, we're back. Let me see if Imam Kareem is on, 626-980. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam Kareem.
Wa alaikum assalam. And it's good to hear
you. Have your hand up. I came to you first, and I didn't get an answer, but I'm back.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Good. Okay, it's wonderful to hear Dr. Rita Stewart once again on AM360, the director of the Speakers Bureau, and yourself and Aaliyah. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah, for the three of you. And we want to extend the greetings of Jumu'ah Mubarak to everyone. May we have a blessed congregational gathering today. Praise be to Almighty God. You know, this is a very important subject matter, and I agree with you. Sometimes we don't want to touch things. We say, well, that's a hot topic, and we'll just shelve that. But usually the hot topics are those things that are critical and most important to be addressed. Concerning our children and ourselves, we have to understand that it is Almighty God that created copulation or intercourse. God created that. So we must include him in these type of conversations. Some of us are victims of appetite that is unchecked by knowledge. And also emotions that are unchecked by knowledge. The system of taqwa, of God consciousness, to be applied in every venue of our life, being conscious of Almighty God, and it is God who created copulation and intercourse. We are, even for those of us, well, I'm not married now, but I have been, that before we have copulation with our wives, before we have intercourse with our wives, Almighty God says, do something for your soul, for your soul. It is suggested, say at least 2 rak'ahs of prayer. Now you are connected at the spiritual level with the act of copulation. It's not just an animal drive now. You are connected with the Creator. that God consciousness. So by way of our children, at the earliest age, we must try to establish among them taqwa, God consciousness. And we are blessed to have the Quran, whereby the results of copulation is laid out in detail. In detail, God mentions the sperm, The sperm, it enters the egg, and then the egg becomes a fetus lump. This is God speaking to us. It becomes a fetus lump, and it clings. It clings to the utero wall. This is God instructing us on that process. Then God said, and bones are formed. Yeah, share that with our children and ourselves, that this is not just a animalistic appetite that we indulge in, that God created intercourse. God created copulation, and there is a knowledge base attached to copulation. So for us married men, before you have sex with your wife, God says, do something for your soul so that you are not just, well, this is my commentary, that you are not just entering her like an animal or just to satisfy your physical urges, which is normal. But these urges have to be governed, and being God conscious is most important with the discussion we're having now on sexuality and copulation and intercourse. We must include Almighty God in that function. And being God conscious, being conscious of God, is the most valuable property that we can have, even in the process of copulation and intercourse. Remember your Lord. So if we can instill that in our children, to be God conscious, that it is God that created this system called intercourse, and take them through those steps whereby God speaks to us as to what comes after the ejaculation of the sperm. That is a system that God has created, and it is sacred. The womb is sacred. So I'll stop right there, but I pray that we take note that even with our wives and our husbands, God says, spend something on your soul before you enter into intercourse, so that we're not operating like animals, that we're God conscious, and we have a knowledge base of our appetites, and we are checking those appetites with knowledge from Almighty God. I'll stop right there. Thank you, the three of you, for such a wonderful, important subject matter that we cannot brush under the rug any longer. Our children are children, and it happens to them and us if we're not conscious, if we're not God conscious. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Well, that's my brother, man. Thank you. All right. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we're coming to a close, and Dr. Stewart, would you like to comment on anything he said?
Actually, I was just listening, and everything, of course, he said was a truth. And I was thinking, the first thing that came to my mind was, my goodness, gone are the days of just, you know, telling your child not to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm remembering my childhood and, you know, you might as well say, you know, my parents put the fear of God in me. And then, of course, I grew up as, well, I didn't grow up as a Muslim, but I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. And that was just one of the things that they stressed was no sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I was too scared to do anything before I got married. So to have sex before I got married was not, you know, was not something that, you know, came to my forefront of my mind when I was approached. And of course, you know, as a young lady, you are approached, but it's also our mindset to say, you know, hey, I've got to wait. You know, this is just not something that you're going to just jump into just because of your, as he mentioned, your animal instinct. And that is, you know, to you know, get into the sexual act. And so, like I said, I was scared to death. So that was not something I did before I got married. And I couldn't understand other people that did it. But, you know, my thing was my goodness, if I do this and I get pregnant, I'm going to embarrass my family. And, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Because I have other things that I want, you know, accomplish in my life. And that having children, you know, and getting involved like that to me was not what I wanted to do. So, again, it's also, again, what you talk about mindset and what how we raise our children to feel and think as well, you know, not bringing in, you know, babies into the world without, you know, being married kind of a thing, which is, again, another subject. But, you know, it depends on how you raise your children. I mean, I have three boys, and I'm waiting for them to get married because they don't have any children. But, again, their mindset is, you taught us, you know, we don't want any baby mamas. And you taught us that we needed to be married before we had the children. So, you know, I have a 40-year-old son that's single, wonderful guy. Can't find the right girl, so he doesn't have any children. Same with my 30-something-year-old son. You know, so it depends, like you were saying, that we have to, it depends on us as parents on how we raise our children. And I know it's unpopular now to have that conversation, so I've had sex, now what? But I want to bring it back to the forefront of our minds that these are things that we need to go back to bringing into our home,
that's right,
into our worship, into our school system, into our lives, and those who are around us to say, hey, it's okay to wait. Some of the pictures even in the book kind of show that, you know, you could cuddle, but you don't have to have sex. You don't have to feel like you're obligated. And you're, oh, it's okay for you to say no, you know, and follow through with it. So all of these things are kind of touched on in the book itself, as well as it gives my phone number as well as a email address. Is there questions that after they've started reading it that they want to have answered, they can contact me as well.
Well, tell us where you can get the book. I wanted to say too, we're extending, and I apologize to you. We're extending the roundtable today. We have Martha. We have another guest that's coming on for, I think it's a half hour or whatever. So, inshallah, we're going to be extending our round table this morning with another guest, and I guess he'll be arriving shortly. But I'd like for you, if you would, Dr. Reaper, give us your contact information, everybody, where they can purchase the book and all that, because we're going to be and Aaliyah's getting it together about another town hall, so she's got the thought in her head, so I'm pretty sure she's going to have it all together for me. she was talking about that, wasn't she, Dr. Reaver? Talking about how we can have everything all together, and she could have... No, I said you could get a town hall together.
Okay,
Dr. Reaver,
you know what? We still didn't talk about something. Well,
it's
time to go now. So,
to
Latifah, so that means we have to.
What
are
you talking about?
Men and the boys who don't report physical abuse, and I got to let them know, they got questions. Really, this is really something that we have to talk about. There's a lot of men being abused, sister. I had no idea.
I've had guys that they don't really say anything because of the fact that it makes them look weak, if you will. So
right.
They don't really say
stigma.
Anything.
That's
yeah.
What I read the foundation.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to say that. We have to extend our invitation to.
Well, we can, like I said, we're gonna have that town hall that you're getting together. So Dr. Rita can talk about that. We can talk about domestic violence. And then you said you wanted to come in.
Now I got a whole other program I got
to do. Just start thinking about it at least, and then we can
next Friday.
Yeah. Inshallah. But anyway, that gives us more time, inshallah, to talk about it more than just an hour, because usually we'll do that for a couple hours. So we'll have more time. People can ask questions and that type of thing. So that'll give us another
I'll
platform.
Be in touch with both of you.
So, you know,
we do need to. I'm very serious about that. I, as well as Latifa and Dr. Risa, every day I get bombarded with things like that, and it's really the parents. I hate to say it, parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Education is the same way, parents.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't get scared of your kids.
Okay. Yeah. Dr. Rita, I'm going to let you
end
with the give us. And there's a couple of things that I just wanted to say before you do that. Oh, go on and do that, Dr. Rita. Give us your information and stuff, and then I'll say that afterwards, and then I'll bring the other person on. So go on, inshallah.
Okay. All right. Again, I can be reached by email, and you can reach me at drresastewart@yahoo.com. And there's no periods. It's all one word, drresastewart@yahoo.com. Or a person can call me at 702-768-8330. Again, that's 702-768-8330. If you have any questions, the book can also be found on Amazon, the first and the second edition. The second edition is the blue edition. I think that Martha told me yesterday she ended up getting both, and she got it from Barnes & Noble. So you can go to your local bookstore. I didn't even know Barnes & Noble still existed. To be honest, things have changed. So,
yeah.
You know, I just order things online now. But she says she got hers at Barnes & Noble. So you could actually walk into Barnes & Noble and ask them to order it for you if they don't have it on their shelf. Or maybe suggest to them that they carry it on their shelf.
She got both books. She got the old edition and the new edition.
Wow.
And I'm going to pass your information on to Rabia Jackson. She has a program on the first and the third Sundays, the reading of a good book. So I'm going to ask her, because she gets the books first.
We've also talked.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And that's right. I forgot about you all came to the program. So, but she has that. So if she needs to get the book, first she gets the book, and once she gets the book, then she'll read it, and then she'll call you on. So I'm going to throw that at her because I know you want to talk. I forgot about you all talk when we were at the conference. So that's a good thing that you all talk. And I'm going to have her give you a call. So maybe you can be on her next program whenever she, you know, whenever, you know, she gets the book and everything like that. Because she likes to get the books and read it, so I can understand that. So that's wonderful.
It's very easily accessible. Again, they can get it on Amazon. It's the latest book. Again, the cover is blue. Amazon carries it. And, again, you can walk it to your local bookstore wherever you're living and ask them to order it. I don't think it takes maybe a day or two for it to actually come. And you just pick it up. So
it's
easy to obtain.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Rita.
Thank
and
so
we
much,
will
Dr.
definitely be talking with you real soon. All right, sister.
Thank you.
You have a
thank
great
day.
And thank you.
Have a good day. Thank
and
you so much. I know it's early.
All right. making that transition. We're extending our CWSC Friday roundtable this morning. and we're going to bring on our next guest. But before we do that, I'm going to, there's a couple of things I want to bring up. Don't forget Sherry Juma. Make sure you come back. 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, 1:30 Central Standard Time, all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. Imam Mukman, and also coming back at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock for Community Buzz, and then 7 o'clock for Community Developmental Stages, all Eastern Standard Time with Martha Nala Abdullah, inshallah. And also, just wanted to put a shout out, next month, all the month of December, we're having, it's going to be our giving month. We will have our telethon until Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. But the month of December is going to be the giving month, and we're asking you all, if you have not gotten your $9.99 a month, I did mine last week, $9.99 a month, they take it out of your checking account, whatever you want. You go to cwsc.us, press the donate button, and it'll ask you if you wanted to do the $9.99. Or if you do not want to do the $9.99, you can do any amount that's comparable to you. All right? So we're asking that, I'm getting a head start on this December, I guess it's a mini telethon, we can say. It's a giving month. So we want everyone to participate in this. And just if you can, just go and set up that $9.99 to be taken out of your account every month. And that isn't, I mean, you can't even, that's a whole month. Can you imagine only $10 a month? I mean, you spend that in what, an hour or $10 or 5 minutes, you know? So $10 a month is nothing. It's less than a cup of coffee. You get a cup of coffee, you can't even get a cup of coffee for a dollar now if you go to these stores. You know, so if you do 10 days, that's $10. So you know what I'm saying? We're asking everyone to please go and get your reoccurring $9.99 a month, inshallah. And again, coming back here on Sunday, it's going to be all day. You start with Study Al-Islam at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. No, it's going to be 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Then you're kind of at 11:30 for till 1 o'clock for the United Talim. And then we're coming back at 1:30 to 3 o'clock for the reading of a good book, Rabia Jackson. And then at 3 o'clock to 5, we have a political arena, after the midterm elections. It will be from 3 o'clock to 5, and then 5 o'clock we're coming in with the contemplators of Imam Wolf J. Muhammad Rahim Al-Aleh. So it's going to be a whole lineup of Sunday. You don't want to miss it. Please tune in to AM 360. You can dial in 515-605-9891. Or 425-292-4253. Looking forward to having everyone. So, alhamdulillah. We're going to have a quick station identification break and come back and get, going to read Brother Imam, I don't know, he's not even, but I'll be back, inshallah. We'll just die. Oh, let
me see. The Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, amrahum shura bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. CWSC recognizes that only through shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From Quran, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer, so whatever you are given is but a provision of this world's life, and that which Allah has is better and more lasting for those who believe and rely on their Lord, and those who respond to their Lord and keep up prayer, and whose affairs are decided by counsel among themselves. Truly, Almighty God speaks the truth. That's the noble and glorious Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, 42, 36 through 38.
All right, and welcome back. We are extending our CWSC Friday Roundtable this morning. We have another guest that we're extending it to, and it's alhamdulillah, we're thankful for that. This is Wally Salabi. He's a senior manager for Johnson & Johnson Supply Chain Data Management. His teams are responsible for developing and implementing data-driven operational and analytical solutions that enhance supply chain's ability to deliver best-in-class savings and strategic partnerships. Since 1983, Wally has been a Miami County resident and has utilized his talents to cultivate the growth and development of South Florida's diverse communities. His services include stints on the community boards such as Emerge USA, MCJ Incorporated, and the Crescent Chamber of Commerce. Currently, he serves as a convener for the Florida Conference of Muslim Americas. He is also a member of the Miami Foundation's Miami Fellows Class, that's six, as well as Leadership Florida's Connect Institute Class 4. While he graduated from the University of Miami with a BA and an MA in Industrial Engineering, he is a member of the Iron Arrow, the highest honor attained at the University of Miami. He is a Johnson & Johnson Certified Six Sigma Black Belt process expert. Wally and his wife, Rovina, are perfecting the art of balance for the nurture and development of their three children. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Wally. How are you?
Hello, my brother. It's a pleasure to be online with yourself and the community and to share.
Alhamdulillah. Well, we're glad that you could join us this morning here. I know Martha had some questions, but we wanted to just, she said that you were going to be talking about some of the wonderful things that you're doing in the community with the Tampa Bay. Are you working? You're in Miami. Okay, but you're currently the convener for the Florida Conference of Muslim Americans. And tell us what that is all about and what you do with that, inshallah.
Sure. So my name is Wally Salahuddin. I reside in my South Florida area, in Hollywood. I'm a member of Masjid Al Ansar, where I'm not my current resident now. My family moved here in 83, so I grew up in South Florida. And then I'm currently raising my family here in the area. As I mentioned in the bio, I work with Johnson & Johnson full-time, but also I work for our community all the time. Mm-hmm. I've always worked for our community for as long as I can remember, and has led to my current goal that I have with SCMA. It's always been our focus to kind of, we all been encouraged, so we even while we are youth of sorts, because I think the conversation around connecting generations, et cetera, we've always been encouraged to kind of have our own, to do our own, and have our own space, and then also to contribute to that broader network that was shaping, establishing balanced community life in South Florida, Master Ozark in particular. So we had youth committees. I was part of the group that, led our youth committee at one point in time, after my siblings and a few other people. And so you can use this development ground to improve and develop your skill sets. When I went through college, I focused on industrial engineering, which is the business side of engineering. But yes, I can design things, but I really like building organizations and entities. So there's a skill set that I picked up during that process that focused on planning, development, and all this strategic analysis. You may have a SWOT, things of that nature. So I was able to utilize that skill set from college and the community on an ongoing basis, and that allowed me to kind of hone in that skill set and that practice and a core community, but at the same time for myself as a broader development. Fast forward a dozen years, and I'm here today. As SCMA was started back in the 80s. It was the collection of imams from around the state of Florida that are in our association, and that group will come together and have workshops, planning, training sessions, and meetings on a regular basis, and that will go on for several years, And then roughly around 2004, the organization decided that let's incorporate, let's organize ourselves under this umbrella of the Florida Conference of Muslim Americans. So that happened May of 2004 and has been in operation in different form of fashion since then. The primary focus was to provide a way, a platform, a conduit for all the different masters across the state of Florida to connect with one another, to co-program one another. We would do conferences where twice a year we would go to an area of the whole city, would host everybody, would put on a program that touched upon the four pillars of our focus, the business, economics, governance, and culture aspect. That would be a weekend activity. This was with a public address. And we were doing that around twice a year, in addition to supporting key programs that was happening across the state. So in the South Florida area, we had something called Family Talim. I had my father and a few, and another sister established, that brought together the community from around the state. We're going to go in a retreat fashion. So we spend the whole weekend at a campsite for ourselves, and we have full weekend of programming, focused programming. We made our own food, provided all entertainment, and then that would go on for several years. So the whole state was always invited to that. Eventually, I had Kemp Khalil, birthed out of this community as well, the broad community, where now you have an opportunity for teenagers between the ages of 12 and 17, right, to kind of come together for 1 week during the summer and to have enrichment among themselves, both mentally, physically, and spiritually as well. You have the Tabam organization that do a lot of activities in the Tampa Bay area in terms of programming, iftars, and interfaith outreach, and so on and so forth. And then you have the communities across the board. So we serve as a platform to allow each other to know what's going on in our respective spaces and how to support one another going forward. So that's our current model today. We meet every first Sunday as a platform to update on what's going on with FCMA as a whole and then also open community conversation. We also established a third Sunday call. This was at the request of one of the emails, Salam out of Jacksonville. When COVID hit, we stopped traveling, we stopped seeing each other, we were kind of isolated, going in our corners to preserve and protect our family. But you lose this touch point. The one request was, hey, can we have a set time every Sunday or so? We have a United Talim, we have a conversation, we share knowledge with one another. And we do that every third Sunday. So alhamdulillah, we've been able to do that every third Sunday since August of 2020. And as the sister was mentioned earlier, this group will be hosting the November series, the November version of the third Sunday call. It's at 11:30, but we'll provide the details for you to next. And for the most part, again, it's an exchange of knowledge. It's a talim, so it's a two-way conversation, exchange of knowledge. It's targeted for a reason, and it's on the normal days for a reason. So we're not consuming a lot of your time, but if we want to give you quality conversation, quality exchanges during that scenario. So those are the two main touch points that we have for FCMA. The first Sunday call was again more of a platform for sharing, and then we also have the third Sunday call. One of the things that and just to kind of close out my talk on FCMA, is that we were established on volunteers, full volunteers, by volunteers, charged with doing full-time work. And a lot of organizations around the nation do the same thing, which work until it doesn't work. And if you wanted to establish an institution that local institution, we have to be deliberate of breaking that model when necessary. So one of the plans we have that we're still working through, we're just trying to work through the details, is to establish a foundation of sorts that will hyper-focus on the programming aspects of our charter. And that program aspect could just be we would run programs with a show all staff, or we would create a funding model to fund those organizations around, in this case, around the state of Florida, that are aligned to our mission, that advance our program needs and ensure that they have adequate funding to deliver on their program objectives. Dramatic shift from where we need to be, but it's necessary so that we can have the level of impact that we want our organization to have with the right level of focus. Volunteers are cool, they're great, but they only break until they no longer break. And then you have to make the adjustments. So we're slowly shifting our focus and trying to get in place in a position where the community trust will be established, and then we have the right structure funding model behind it. And then, as I mentioned before, either create our own programming or, more importantly, fund and support those who are. Like, case in point, the Victor Muhammad School, there's at least two in the state of Florida. Ensure that they have adequate funding and support so they can continue to advance our Islamic education focus and concerns. There's the Quality Life Center in Fort Myers that now do Muhammad runs. They do a wonderful job of training and developing the next level youth, and with that, they infuse the Islamic principles in the shaping of the next generation. We talk about culture and the impact. You know, how do we make sure that that organization has, now he has funding, but how we should, by our support to his funding model going forward, and anyone else that around the state, like how we identify and amplify those programs, those organizations that are doing good, that could use our support in a different fashion. And then that's what's being delivered by how we focus our attention, but we channel our resources accordingly. And that's kind of the next phase that we're starting to evolve as maybe we will still maintain our platform as a conduit for sharing and supporting one another, but we definitely love to speak that with other elements. And then the third component to that would be around the land trust scenario. A lot of our communities own land and assets in different forms and fashion, but we want to see what we do to have us help and strengthen and support them from our protection scenario. Not ownership, the land asset was still owned by the separate community. This is more of a stewardship type role, more so than anything else.
Now, when you say the stewardship role, so if they have the land, then you all, so explain that a little bit more.
So the community still owns the property, right? You can't change that. They're still responsible for the operation. They're still responsible for the taxes. They still own the deed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that if the SMA becomes another name party to the deed, they have invested interest, and then you kind of can prevent takeovers, right? Because we are experiencing that, you know, in reality across the board, right? We have land, and all of a sudden, you no longer have assets, right? Because there were unwanted takeovers or changes that happened in our communities, and then the assets from the community get lost. So that's what we're trying to prevent.
Oh, okay. We had someone to come in and talk about having a trust. Is that something that you all are looking at doing with the, you know, with the land?
Right. All of us. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know we're gonna have something where someone is to talk about that. Because some people can get their land just kind of taken from the, you know, from under them, and not even know what's going on if you don't have that protection. Right.
So this wouldn't be for individuals. This is strictly for the organization. Because individuals, the laws will tricky, accountants and all that kind of stuff. This is for, and if a masjid has several, I have two masjids in our association, they have farm and buildings, they have actual land, etc. It's just so that doesn't all of a sudden be taken over by some disinterested party.
Okay.
But as a person, your personal land, that's a totally different model. There's different set of rules that you have to follow. If you start talking about inheritance and things of that nature that need to be covered, that's different than, say, our business.
Okay. And you mentioned also that foundation, that was another component, the land and foundation. Now, the foundation is that, you know, getting that foundation together. And like you said, you have a couple of places, a couple of Sister Claire Mama School and also the Brothers program that you are hoping to fund that on a regular basis, or are you just trying to get the foundation so that you can give them funds at some time, or is it something that you all want to do on a regular basis?
Yeah, those are just examples. They're in their standing organizations, they're self-sufficient as it is. Those are just examples. For instance, 2019, the Quality Life Center, that's the organization in Fort Myers, if I'm not mistaken, they did a significant fundraising campaign, and they significantly added to their footprint. They had a gymnasium, they added a work center, the whole O9 that he did on his own, and they will continue to do that on his own. When the hurricane Ian just came through that area, and it impacted Fort Myers dramatically. The Call Life Center sits in the traditional African American community. But the center was able to get their life back on. But the center becomes a point of congregation for aid and support. So the center is very significant in that Fort Myers area. The model I was mentioning that it's just a way for us to amplify what they're doing by contributing to what's happening. So just to add a little more context to that.
Okay.
Around the country, there are these community foundations. Community foundations have a special charter and the tax code, and they are nonprofit organizations that are established to pool and collect donations, investments from individuals. Donations and contributions from individuals, families, businesses, etc. They pool that, they make the investments, and then they create an endowment, and from there they distribute the proceeds. That model allows for that organization to collect funds from different places and then to become a sponsoring organization. Therefore, we can provide funds back out in grants and scholarships, et cetera, to whomever, to advance the mission of the focus. And that's the model that we're seeking to pair in the foundation behind this broader community foundation model and concept. And then to put it in context, right, so down here in Miami, just yesterday, has a program called Give Aid. The Miami Foundation, this is the entity that focuses on all of Miami-Dade County, so our county here, they have an annual Give Aid. I have to check the latest numbers, but I want to say they raised like $32 million across $30 million in one day with a focus on all that money goes to the different charities and entities and nonprofits that registers with them. And then there's an engine behind it because you have to motivate people to be involved and be part of it. But there's no sense saying that why we couldn't be part of something like that. But the foundation exists to pool resources and then they turn around and invest back into the community these collected resources. So our idea for our foundation is a lot kind of along those models.
Okay. Ali, you have any questions or any comments or anything for Brother Wally?
No, I'm just listening. It's so interesting. I had no idea. No questions. I just want you to keep talking. I mean, I'm learning, you know, the monies that are in our near, you know, we have it almost, but we just have to know how to get it. How to utilize it, we need people in place. So I'm just, you know, in awe. I'm just listening.
I want to share something. I wish I thought about it earlier, then I would have converted to something I can present. But this past Sunday, I was at a meeting for a local organization here, but they brought in a person who is very entrenched in the Islamic philanthropy in space, put it that way. He does capacity planning, capacity development, but a lot of their work is on research, so it's academic research in the space of philanthropic needs and focus for Muslims in the United States. So I brought this gentleman down the other day to provide a training, right, a board training for a lot of the Muslim organizations in down here. And there was a few things that he mentioned that brought to my attention that I want to share with you guys. The first of all is that Muslims in this country as a whole, this is everybody, right, gave about $4.3 billion, plus or minus, right, to faith-based organizations and non-faith-based organizations. The lion's share of that $4.3 billion went to some of the non-faith-based organizations, like Jews, United Ways, and so on and so forth. And then the faith-based contributions of call a billion or so went to faith-based organizations with a large chunk of that going towards Zakat. So the other part started for the other part of Zakat. And part of the... non-faith-based organizations have put on to that scenario of like, oh, Muslims have money. Muslims give money. I need to get that Muslim money. So now the non-faith-based groups are now figuring out a way to be capacity making to giving, targeting Muslims with that focus. And so if I have so much money at home, so much to give, and I'm convinced that St. Jude can do better with my money and get the Zakat benefit, you may start seeing dollars going out of St. Jude, out of the masses, out of the Klamon schools, out of et cetera, into the St. Jude's, because they figure out how to attach me as a donor, how to cultivate me as a giver, and I can still get Zakat credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So I was like, oh, interesting. So that's something. On the flip side is that our organizations on the faith-based side, and estimated is due to this as well, so I'm not saying we do anything special or different, and even imagine they have the same concern. We have to ask ourselves, do we have the capacity to actually properly manage that? If someone holds a check for $100 million, could we take care of that?
Mm-hmm.
Could we properly utilize $100 million? And to put it in context, right, just to put it as an example, Jeff Bezos gave Dolly Parton $100 million. She has money. She doesn't need more money. He gave $100 million because, in his eyes, organizations have the capacity to maximize the stretch of that $100 million for the stuff she's already doing. Mm-hmm. So here's more money to keep doing what you're doing. Not that you need any more money. Here's more money to do what you're doing because I like what you're doing. And you have the capacity, the infrastructure to manage it. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's something we have to look at. Like, are we positioning ourselves?
Don't worry about it.
Where we can compete for all those dollars that are out there. Because, I mean, $4.3 billion is nothing to sleep at. So it is available. But if you don't have the capacity to say, yes, you write a check for $100 million, or even $50 million, or $1 million, it will be maximized and utilized to the most possible capacity. The Quiet Life Center is an example where I feel that they have that capacity. Now the hospital can continue to grow, and that's basically build infrastructure capacity to make sure that happens, right? He has the right board structure. He has the right organization structure to make that happen. That's something we have to be honest about and really say, okay, are we doing that? Here's why I said before, volunteers are great until they're no longer great.
So you think, let me ask you something. So I guess with Dolly Parton, okay, you all of this money you have, why wouldn't he give it to an organization that was in need? But because he knows that she has the infrastructure to do that, he continued to pour money there rather than giving it to someone that may or may not utilize it the way that maybe he feels that the person would utilize that. So as Muslims, you're saying that we have to get ourselves in a position where we could get that kind of funding. You know, what do we have to do to get that kind of funding?
Not that we have to go after Jeff Bezos. I'll just use that as an example. You got to get to the point where even the person who gives on a regular basis every day, my mother said this to me yesterday, for something else to happen, that I'm just going to give my money here. I mean, still in the community. But it was something that she wasn't hearing and feeling from a capacity, transparency standpoint, that she's going to shift how she wants to give now. It's still to the community. Don't get me wrong, but it's the same sentiment, right? If our organizations are not structured and organized properly to fully take advantage of that, even our own people be like,
yeah.
And what happened is that we end up doing something called donor fatigue. Okay, some point, we have a fundraiser, we raise a lot of money to fix X. We come back 6 months later, another fundraiser fixed. Why? Like, why are we having the same conversation over again? You just, right, we keep going back to people over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Recycling
this stuff, right?
Right, and if people, they're going to get burned out, they're going to get tired. Mm-hmm. So the point I made about the non-faith-based people saying, hey, we can use the cap credit for blah, 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 you know, right, actually, and it's going to happen. If we don't step up and like, hey, these are big time fix ourselves.
Mm-hmm. People want to always see that you're progressing. They want to see that you're doing things so that they can give. But if they don't see anything, they're going to say, well, what am I doing? I'm just giving this, and I don't see anything. I don't see any movement. I don't see them moving. I don't see them doing anything. So, but we have Sister Mahasin. She has her hand up. Sister Mahasin, go on. We're acknowledging you. Assalamu alaikum. Yes. Okay.
Walaikum salam, Sister Tita, Sister Aaliyah, and our dear Yasalam, our dear guest today, Wali Salah Houdini. Amazing presentation, maybe I'm Wali, and the broadening of our information has to do with our economic and financial expansion, and what your organization, the huge contribution it sounds like you're organizing over the years has made to our financial situation. Is anyone doing the data or the research on the status of our particular association under Imam W.D. Muhammad and those connected masajid and organizations as to the state of need and the gender focus that giving has or has not taken, just where those elements are in assessing distribution of zakat and distribution of funding. Brother Wali, I'm loving your example of the larger organizations building capacity. How are we doing in that, and do we have any numbers that...
No, that's a very good point. So to answer your question, I do not know firsthand that there's a targeted research happening right now. I will say that the young man, the brother who presented on Sunday, that's what their organization does. And even to the South Florida space, right, his charge is, hey, you guys should consider conducting a study, the way you described it, right? Conducting a similar study on South Florida to fully understand that part of it, but there's a component to it as well. Like they're also looking at the, and this is probably more relevant with the conversation about generation, there also was part of the conversation about understanding the demographics of your space, meaning the age groups and the diversion of age. And there's something happening, where it's already happened, that there has been some national research that has implications, I'll share that shortly, but then they want to do a more focused, localized, to say, hey, well, what is going on in your space? I would say the exact same thing could be done with the same organization. And so, Sister Lila, I'll share that this gentleman's information with you so you can share out accordingly. That same thing can be done with a focus on the Imam Muhammad's community as a whole, if you will. Mm-hmm. I don't know the cost of said survey. It's not $10. So there's a cost behind it because you're talking academic research, people going out and interviewing people and then digesting that interview data. So it does take a little effort. But I think it's something that is available.
Yes, I'm excited about the potential because we're finding our community segmenting as it develops and trending up in business launching and startup. For certain elements, like there's a trend of starting women-based businesses, and there's a funding platform that's needed to support that youth type of oriented businesses, even elementary and middle school age entrepreneurs. There's a lot of exciting development that's going on there, and segmenting or categorizing Islamic, we call it cottage businesses, home-based businesses. So there are several arenas in which we could enjoy and welcome the funding. Last thing I'll say is, remember that Allah had assured the believers. He said in the last days, since the rewards will be presented to you, and much of that is financial expansion and proliferation. And he said in the hereafter,
It will be for you exclusively. So, of course, we're kind of anticipating and wondering what status we can stand in as believers to enjoy that. So please speak on that.
In terms of
any targeting that's happening, special arenas that attention is given to for specific trending of business development and business education.
Nothing outside of the traditional norm. I referenced the Quanta license because I know that's part and parcel core to their programming.
Yeah.
That's what they do, and they target teenagers. And then for maybe some young adult, maybe up to 24, don't quote me on that. But that's all I know for sure. That I know the way Camp Khalil is structured, he does aspects of that, but it's the end of the week, right? So how much can you get in a week? It's enough to kind of lead you in the right direction, but to be proficient in the market space, no, not so much. But there's other, I'm sure there's a few other non-business organizations that may be doing something similar. The question is, do you need to reinvent the wheel or just be engaged and, you know, shape the wheel better?
Yeah. Can't wait for your contact information.
Sure. No worries.
Yeah. We're gonna take a quick, well, we're about to try to wrap it up here. We had it after they said the little 90 seconds, we still had about a half an hour. So we still have about 10 minutes here. So we're going to, you gave us a lot of very good information. We're going to open up and see if any of the listening audience have any questions or comments or concerns for Brother Wally. If you do, press 1 to get in the queue. We'd love to hear from you. All right? Right now, I don't have anyone that's pressing 1 to get in the queue. I was going to take a quick station identification break, and then we'll be right back, Brother Wally, and then we'll kind of give you some more. So either you can kind of wrap up. I know you gave us some information on the things that you all are planning to do, but I'd like to hear like the some of the goals that are immediate goals at this time that you're pursuing, inshallah. All right. Well, Testing Dow, we'll be right back, inshallah.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Assalamu alaikum and God's peace be upon you, each and every one of us. We are appreciative of God's blessing. The Creator has granted much. On behalf of the CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, and all of this intelligentsia, especially American Muslim 360 Broadcast, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where our intellect is respected and our voice protected. We thank each and every one in the human family for being an active participant in this life. We know that we are blessed, and we pray that each and every one of us are aware of our blessing and giving thanks. Giving thanks each and every day. Thanks for our hearing, our sight, our feeling, and our thinking. For the blessings that we have received from the Creator, and we say God, the one God, those blessings are here to aid us and assist us in every way we need them, whether we are aware or not. And so we ask that we all show our appreciation. For surely these gifts will be a witness for us or against us. Take time and be thankful for the time to be with one another. Show patience, show understanding, show kindness, and show our gratitude to the Creator. Be in service to humanity. Use the gift in the best way. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.
And welcome back to the CWSC Private Roundtable. We have extended it up a little bit here this morning. We're about to wrap it up, inshallah. But we have a special guest here this morning, Waleed Salahuddin, giving us information. He is the convener for the Florida Conference of Muslim Americas and just giving us some updates on what they're doing in the community, in the Florida community, inshallah. We're going to give it back to you, Brother Waleed. You can let us know some of the immediate things that you're doing, some of the immediate goals that you all are doing in the Florida area. Now, I don't know. Now, let me ask you this before you go on. Now, I know that being a convener, I know we have conveners throughout the different communities, and I don't ever really get a really good report on a lot of stuff that's going on. So this is good to be able to get this report because we don't really get that. So maybe we need to reach out more to some of the other conveners to come on and let us know what they're doing in their regions or, you know, their states, inshallah.
Yeah.
Why you got a loud chuckle? What was that?
I'm on it now because I want to be the life of my comments, right?
Right.
I put it this way. So in principle, right, the role of the Florida convener, I run the FCMA organization, and then by extension, it's kind of the point person to convene, if you will, the imams in the state of Florida for whatever needs and purposes, right? But then it's like this overlap because that same group of imams are also part of the Southeast section. And they're part of that organization, and rightly so. So to avoid the duplicate efforts and focus, when I became a convener in 2020, most of my focus has been around the organization itself. Like, how do we evolve FCMA as an organization to that next thing where it services the member organizations and demands to have their connections back to the sectional with no issue? Yes, our active members are in fact our imams, but I'm looking to leverage their body, if you will, to kind of do some work that we're doing. So our model was built around having committee chairs. I had a business committee chair, an economic committee chair, some education, business, culture, et cetera. Those were individuals that were designed to kind of connect back to the respective model and the masters around the state of Florida that had also a business chair, an education chair, and so on and so forth. And these are all volunteers in this construct to do this work. Well, if Matthew Ellen Starr doesn't have a similar organization structure, there's no one for Matthew Ellen Starr to connect with the chair of business at the FCMA level because it just don't exist. So then the person who runs the business page is literally talking to themselves. So it's like, this is not working. And so hence why we start talking about shifting the focus. So since about the middle of last year to today, we really hone in on or lean into our mission of being that conduit. We are here to exist to amplify the voices of the masters, the communities, and our association around the state. You tell us what's going on and where you need help and support. And when there's a need to rally the troops, we will rally the troops and go there proactively, if not post haste. Take some point, there was an issue with the hurricane that impacted Fort Myers. There was a tremendous interest in pouring to support was there. So through the efforts, funding was sent there. Saturday, Matthew Ellen saw we take the resources over there or supplies over there. Different people work on different things. So we've now become a touch point for addressing our individual needs and less of a statewide programming. The state's in point, the bungalow program in Fort Myers or St. Pete, like the Tabamo folks do, and that group, they know best what they need to do, and they will execute to the most efficient manner possible. And then they will tell us we are doing ABCXYZ and invite everyone to come and amplify those numbers, actually, and people will go and be there and be present. And so that's been the focus, and that's where we start to see the value of what's happening versus FCMA trying to do programming in all these different places, because A, the volunteers is not there, right? And B, it's not effective when that's not the case.
So it's connecting. You know, y'all are connecting. That's the main thing, being able to connect.
That's been our core, and we lean into that core and focus on that core right now.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Well, did you have something, Aaliyah? Okay.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, all right. So would you leave us with some words of wisdom and give us some contact information in case someone wants to contact you? And it's like a model, you know, the model.
I leave you with this this is something I have to resolve. So maybe our collective brains can resolve. One of the stats that was shared with us on Sunday was the demographic of the largest Muslim group, and this is everybody, so not just us, it's everybody in the United States, right? The breakout of that demographic is a little concerning. Because the millennials, anybody who's born after 81, right? Up to a certain point, right? Because the Gen X is anyone born in like the 90s, something like that, right? The millennials, so these people in their 30s, half no 40s for the most part, they represent 52% of the Muslim population in the U.S. And then 32% of the adult population. So they make a large chunk of the U.S. Muslims in this country, right? That group. That same group, 60% of them say they don't wear a mask on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a head scratcher. Because all of our programming is mask-oriented focus. But the age group, the largest population base, more than half of them say, I don't go to masjid. I'm Muslim. I do everything, but it's not my thing. And that's something we have to kind of collectively try to resolve. It's interesting because for all the good that we intend, you need an audience to benefit from.
Right.
And this generational audience is not listening to us, but they're not around the girls.
That's something that we've all been struggling with, even here at AM360, trying to get some of the younger minds, if we will, to come over and do some things. And they'll like, yeah, I'm gonna come. And then something else always, you know, something else comes up or something else that bursts their attention. So it's like it's a struggle. You know, you talk to them, they sound good. They want to do it, but then when it comes to actually doing the work, it's like, what happened? It's like they dropped the ball somewhere. So we got to figure out how we can keep that ball rolling, and that's been a struggle for us. And you're right, the majority of the Muslims, what is going to happen? You know, because a lot of us are baby boomers. I know I'm a baby boomer. And then, you know, we're getting older, and we're retiring, and we're dying off. And all of that. So what's going to happen with our community in another 10 to 15 years? What's going to happen? You know?
So, because the other part of that reality is that, so the guy was presenting, he said he was born in age, so he's roughly 40, right, 42. But some of the 42 have teenage kids, have younger kids. So now you have two generations are not listening to us. That's the thing that keeps me up at night, is how we break the cycle. A lot of it is keep doing what needs to be done, absolutely. But the other part would be don't be afraid to make the necessary changes to expand the pocket. If we can get anything, we got to get that. We got to keep pushing. We got to keep doing because there's something to be said about consistency. And that's why I mean my parties can tell us a lot. The one thing Allah loves best is consistency. In the right.
Even if it's small amounts.
Yes. So we got to stay consistent, but when necessary, you have to be open to small, relevant changes.
Right.
Even if it's uncomfortable change, as long as it's not deviating dramatically, that small change, maybe what's needed so that 50% goes down to 10% that says, yeah, I'm Muslim, but I don't know the message.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to see it in the home. They have to hear it. They have to see it, not just to talk. So with children, and we all know this, we've been children, we've raised children, we see children, they have to see it, they have to know it from little, from growing up, and they have to witness it on a consistent basis. You say consistency. So they have to be able to see it, they have to know that this is what we're supposed to do, and they have to feel comfortable about going to do it. Now, what I've heard is that some of the young men, because the men are supposed to go, they don't take jobs. Or that they can get off on Friday. On the East Coast up here. Yeah, they, you know, some things have to be in order, like you're saying. But if they have to work on Friday, and they're supposed to go definitely positively on Juma, a lot of them get mad. Some of them have quit. They can't quit because, you know, they need their money. They got to go to work.
Okay. I just want to say what she was talking about. Sometimes you can be in the home. Sometimes you can be the example. Sometimes you can do all of that. It's a blessing if those children, if they're there, following. But there are some children who can do all the right things, and they're still going astray.
That's right.
So we don't know.
You know, if you're saying the majority of the children, what group, you say 30 years, yeah, that's a big chunk.
That's 52%. Well, he's saying that the ones that are in their 30s and 40s, early 40s. Okay.
Yeah, the survey that 50% of those people say they don't go to the master's degree.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Yeah,
60%. That's challenging.
Significant.
Right, and it has generational impact, right? Again, because
one
in 40s could have young kids, they could have teenagers.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. So we...
It's encouraging. I threw it out because it's one of the pieces that I want to share with you, but I share it in the context of encouragement, right? Keep pushing when we have to kind of, you know, be deliberate. I always like to tell people to be deliberate about certain things, and that deliberate is how we crack that 60% mark where they're not honored annually, and then it's going to happen with the scenario that I can give online. I don't have to go down someplace to give. I can watch Islamic lectures online. I don't have to sit in the building to do that. So now going to a place needs a stronger appeal.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we have this scenario. From a giving standpoint, if the St. Jews of the world are saying, hey, we will create a St. Cat sandwich, so you can give this cat to us, then you would manifest the money and the person.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Something to think about. Mahasan has a question. Mahasan, this is Mahasan.
Yes, I'm just inspired by the sharing that Imam Salahuddin has given to us on the survey results, as well as the perspective that it should give us as we back up and take a look at the big picture, what's really challenging us. And I will say, these are very significant and strategic numbers that you are placing in a place, sharing with us in a place where we can put our concerns, because it may seem in certain areas we're in a crisis situation in terms of our aspirations for model community. I was doing some research and zeroed in on Islam in Spanish.org, and they have a remarkable website which they share their growth and development throughout the United States. Wonderful statistics and wonderful progression that they share. And I'm sure that tentatively organizations like yours are right there at the top of the mark in using the most advanced means of diminishing what you call donor stress, right? Having the means of outreach and solicitation that inspire people. People need inspiration, busy trying to hook up the inspiration with the aspiration. And by word, words make people,
we are succeeding in that, but we can always benefit from measuring that success and setting goals and targeting the advancements that we seek to achieve as a collective body. Really, really want to thank you. I really, as you give the contact information, inshallah, I'll be in touch with you. I'm the board member and one who supports and helps to develop the work with CWSC.
Okay.
That's a one-time co-host on that program with the program, not just plus. So we're very, very interested in media outreach and media impact that we can bring. Look forward to all of us being able and our listeners to hear more from you in depth and share some aspirations and plans we're seeking to fulfill. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr.
Johnson.
Yeah, give your contact because I don't want to. What I end up happening, real quick, what I end up happening is a shut off, and it's going to be about to shut off in just a few. So I want to make sure we get your information.
So I will. So my cell phone is 305-586-2475. Text first, please, because I will not answer numbers I don't recognize.
I said we'll go. happening with that. Well, actually, it's like reasons to cry. That means that, well, it's not their kind of heart. You know, it's not based upon